I don't know about you, but I am ready for Christmas. My family and I went and got our tree yesterday, and not an out-of-the-box tree or a Loblaws parking lot tree. No, we went out into the woods with a saw and cut one down, legally, of course. And last night we opened up a box of Pot O' Gold chocolates and decorated our tree with Mary's Boy Child by Boney M. playing in the background, just as God intended. I am so ready for Christmas. And look around this place. It looks different from last week, doesn't it? Yesterday, a group of staff and volunteers came in to do the greening of the church with our wreaths and boughs. And next week will be our big Christmas lunch and the carol sing. And then the week after that will be our glorious pageant with the angels and shepherds and donkeys. And as we get closer and closer to Christmas, we mark these weeks with the beautiful tradition of lighting our Advent candles. Hope, joy, peace, love. This week is hope. And how could we not be hopeful? Tabitha and Ivan and Andrew and Andrew joined us today. And little Ronan was baptized. Ronan, who will be baby Jesus in the Christmas pageant. The light that has come into the world. Of course we should be hopeful. I am so ready for Christmas. And then we get this reading from Matthew this morning. All this talk of one being taken and the other being left behind. Stay awake, because the Son of Man is coming like a thief in the night. I'm ready for some fa-la-las, and this rapturous language lands like a hunk of coal in my Christmas stocking. And we do it every year. I'm not sure if you've noticed, we follow a lectionary here which groups the Bible readings every year according to theme. So every year before, we tell the stories of John the Baptist and Mary and Joseph and a baby in a manger. We get these kind of stories. Last year, on the first Sunday of Advent, we had Luke telling us, people will faint from fear and foreboding of what is coming upon the world, and for the powers of the heavens will be shaken. And next year, on this week, we will read from Mark. Then they will see the Son of Man coming in the clouds with great power and glory, and he will send out the angels and gather his elect from the four winds, from the ends of the earth to the ends of heaven. So why do we do this? Advent is the beginning of the church year, so why do we start it by speaking of the so-called end times? The fancy Emmanuel College word for end times these texts describe is eschatology. Eschatology is a branch of theology that is concerned with the final events of history, the apocalypse, the ultimate destiny of humanity. It involves judgment, but at its heart it is about a final reconciliation between God and all of creation. And for us this morning, I think it's important to point out that this type of thought did not originate in the time of Jesus. Within the Jewish tradition, apocalyptic literature dates back to the time of the destruction of the first temple in 586 BCE by the armies of King Nebuchadnezzar and the resulting exile of the people to Babylon. These were a people who had lost everything, their homes, their culture. They were at the mercy of an oppressive regime. They had lost agency, the ability to define their own future. And so naturally they wanted a way out. They sought a great figure to save them, to rescue them, to pluck them up out of their suffering. As tradition goes, this great figure would be of David's line. And like David, he would be a divinely appointed king, the anointed one, or in Hebrew, the Messiah. According to the narrative, this great figure would gather people up, defeat the armies of Israel, and would then rule over a period marked by peace, prosperity, and justice. And for a people who had lost everything, who had felt abandoned in a world that did not work for them, this was something to believe in. This was something to hold on to find hope in. These eschatological texts were picked up by New Testament writers like Matthew, who were facing oppression and a loss of identity in their own time at the hands of the Roman Empire. At the heart of these texts is a deep yearning for reconciliation, to be seen, included, valued, There is a deep yearning to set things right, to reconnect with God and God's purpose for creation. We read of this deep yearning for reconciliation in our Isaiah passage this morning. In the days to come, the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established as the highest of the mountains, and all the nations shall stream to it. And the Lord shall judge between the nations, and they shall beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up sword against nation. O house of Jacob, come, let us walk in the light of the Lord. No more war, no more suffering, no more fear. Come, let us walk in the light of the Lord. Many of us will have the opportunity of spending Christmas this year in safety, surrounded by people we care about and care about us. But many will not. Many will be lonely, hopeless, abandoned by a world that does not work for them. Imagine, if you will, for a moment, spending this season in northern Syria with a renewed ISIS bearing down on your community. Or in a migrant detention camp in Texas, separated from your children. Imagine spending this Christmas here on the streets of Toronto, living a life so utterly broken that the only way out you see is by injecting opioids into your veins. Let us walk in the light of the Lord. That's the thing about light. It allows us to see. It allows us to see and to awaken to the hard truths all around us. It allows us to see how very far we have drifted away from each other, from God, and God's purposes of peace, prosperity, and justice for all of creation. Our faith tells us that the light of God is born into the world. Oh, come, Emmanuel. God with us. We are not alone. This is the essence of Christian hope. We are not alone. We are not abandoned even in our darkest moments, especially in our darkest moments. The one who reconciles does come, but not in the way anyone expects. There is no plucking up. There is no great reckoning with military might. Our gospel reading this morning ends with Jesus telling his disciples to stay awake, to be attentive for his return. And then the very next chapter, he explains the manner by which he will return. He will appear just around the corner, suddenly like a hungry person, or a neighbor ill-clothed, or someone sick or imprisoned. For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you welcomed me. I was naked, and you gave me clothing. I was sick, and you took care of me. I was in prison, and you visited me. This is the great exchange of life for light. In the light of the living Christ, we see each other. We awaken to each other's joys and pains, each of our deep longings for connection and wholeness. In the light of Christ, we become more fully aware of the injustices of this world that lead so many to feel so left out. In the light of Christ, we definitively see that we are all light bearers, all, regardless of creed or color or life circumstance, we are all light bearers. We all shine. Come, let us walk in the light of the Lord. I end now with this poem by Patricia Orr, found in our book, This Is Us Doing Church. She was a stranger. She entered the sanctuary looking for God, down the aisle, touching the badges of honor, the jewels of history, gratitude laid over the centuries. She was humbled, moved, but she did not touch God. She waited. Sometimes we must simply wait. And then the winds changed and the doors blew open and the souls poured in, spirits of the old leading the new ones, singing their lives like boisterous children, their tragic, comedic, beautiful, precious lives, a tableau of the faithful designed by love. Sometimes they stumbled, took a wrong turn, but still they pressed on. They were moving, a veritable force beyond nature. And finally she understood. The people had come and had brought God with them. And the place came alive with the light of being and belonging. And they would come and they would go. And the light they followed would somehow follow them. This is the great exchange of life for light. This is a story of longing. Blessed are they whose longing touches the Lord. Blessed the light they bring. May it be so. Amen.